Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts, the bolts, the making of comics. My name is Joey Groh, and first time on the show today is Heather Antos. Hello, Heather.
Hi, Joey. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I very much appreciate you coming on board. If you listened to last episode, Nicole Booz came on board for her first episode post-150, where we've changed up the format a little bit to include Heather Nicole and Jim Gibbons as the rotating co-hosts of the show to bring in all of their comics knowledge and outside of comics knowledge and, no pun intended, comics experience to talk about what folks want to hear them talk about. Or in today's case, we have an internally generated topic ahead of time. But Heather, a little bit about Heather, if you're unfamiliar with Heather. Heather's most recently been at Marvel. We were talking a little bit before we started recording. You were there for 3 years, and amongst other things, Star Wars and Gwenpool, I know, are big touchstones. Is that what folks know you best from, Heather, when they meet you at shows?
Yeah, definitely Star Wars and Gwenpool are the top two that people come to talk to me about. But I also, when I started at Marvel, had a heavy hand involved with the Deadpool books. I did like Deadpool the Duck and Deadpool vs. Punisher. And one of my last projects at Marvel was actually Deadpool vs. Old Man Logan, which was a lot of fun. All the pools, the pool wars, as I like to say.
That's right. Yeah. You ran the pool. You were lifeguard in charge, whistleblowing.
I mean, that's kind of like an editor's job, right? You're the lifeguard of the pool of comic talent. There you go.
Stop breaking the fourth wall, you guys. Stop it. I will tell your parents. Background includes indie comics, creator-owned stuff before Marvel, and currently you are editor-in-chief at Unicorn, which is esports, which also allows you time, you were saying, to consult, edit, and write on other stuff. So you basically don't sleep.
I don't sleep well. How's that? I'm sitting here on my third cup of coffee for the day, so we're doing great. We're doing great.
That's right. We're recording this at 10 p.m. at night. Not true. It is not even noon. So we're well within three cup range. Well, thanks again for doing this. It's exciting to have you all in and to hear your perspectives on the different topics that we're going to cover. And, you know, we've talked about you as editorial capacity and working with talent. So we were going to talk about collaboration was the kickoff. And that, you know, a lot of times in talking to folks in general related to comics, we talked about goal setting, and I imagine so much of, you know, what you've experienced has obviously been what is the outcome you're trying to do. And even just within the Marvel, you know, offices, that has to be, hey, Star Wars is doing a certain thing, but certain Star Wars titles, they're doing a certain thing. You know, what are the goals for the series? How are we trying to tell the stories? Who are we trying to reach? What do we want to broaden? What can't we do? And then from there on, hey, I want to make a comic. How do I make a comic? How do I collaborate with people? Where do I find collaborators? You know, it's such a wide berth of topic to cover, but I'm curious, you know, when you started, you know, what were the things that you learned early on as far as collaboration, as far as working with other folks, and, you know, however it seemed to fit for you?
I mean, I think my view on collaboration came pre-comics even. My background, I studied and worked professionally in theater and film before I moved my career to comics. And, you know, collaboration in any creative industry is key, hands down. You know, together you are a group of people. Yes, you have different roles in the process. But you all have this end goal, which is hopefully creating a great show, a great film, a great comic. And it's important, I think, for everyone to have that end goal in mind, not necessarily just their own personal role. Because I think if we become so focused on just ourselves, that's where you run into a lot of, you have more tendency to run into animosity with each other because you're solely focused on like, well, this is what I want and I want my stuff to be the best for me. And whenever things become selfishly driven, then I think, you know, there's a lot more negative influence. Yeah, in comics, I think one of the things that always irritated me when I was trying to break in is I see, you know, these indie creators or even some pros referred to their collaborators as my artist, my, you know, letterer, my cover artist, my designer. And I'm like, but they're not yours. You don't own them, you know. I don't know if it bothers anyone else as much as it bothers me, but I don't like referring to other people, other collaborators as objects. Because, you know, when you say you're a writer and you have this great story you're going to write, you have this idea, you don't, when you go to ask an artist to work with you, you theoretically are specifically choosing that artist for a reason, you know,
right?
Because you like what they do and you think that and hope that they're going to bring, you know, what they do to the table. That's a collaboration. That's mm-hmm. not you pointing to them and saying monkey see monkey do,
right?
And so I think, but a lot of, I think a lot of younger creators tend to, or less experienced creators is better put, tend to think that way, which can be very frustrating because, you know, again, we want to work with this artist for a reason. So you want to collaborate and respect what they do, without having that mentality of like, well, this is my project and you're my artist, so you're going to do what I say. Mwahaha.
Right. And maybe there's a dollar amount or a, you know, a contract that works that way. But for the most part, you know, like any, like you were saying with your background, anything where you're trying to do creative storytelling or even something that's advertising or marketing, it's such a collaboration. It's such a leaning on, maybe somebody's got, you know, the point of origin for the idea or is the guiding force behind something. But in comics, I mean, just every aspect, you have to understand the ripple effect of decisions that you make, how it's going to affect the getting the book out on time, production, lettering, coloring. Everything has to, you know, to me, the guy who hasn't worked at Marvel, it seems like it's coming from a, hey, how are we going to make this the best outcome that we can? And knowing the strengths, weaknesses, you know, getting everybody into that mix to go, okay, here's the goal, this is where we're going, and figuring out the best way to collaborate. Because, boy, you know, it's a lot of it does, and maybe this is just personal experience, feel like it is an experience. Because the first time I had an artist just do layouts of something I had written was a revelation. You know, it mm-hmm. was, oh my gosh, these are all the things that I could have done, all the things that I did wrong. This is how I need to, it rejiggered how I thought about approach. Just seeing, oh, here's, I need to do less of this and more of this, just less in the panel description. I need to, you know, have better conversations before we start so I have a better understanding of their strengths, what their interests are. And it really, I think it made me a better collaborator, because it made me think about all those questions differently. And even the approach for the next artist and the next artist, you know, folks that I wanted to do work with, it made me phrase stuff differently and think about, oh yeah, this is how I should, this makes the most sense. I should, it just the basic posture of approaching somebody I don't know to work with and starting that creative relationship together. You know, getting your feet wet into something that is new and that you hope, hey, at the very least, you know, is it 5 pages of story or are we going to try to do a miniseries? And I imagine in the case of, you know, a lot of the work that you've done in putting together teams or being brought in to work with, you know, create your own comic, it's a lot of the same thing of just feeling out, you know, what are our goals and having those conversations. And like you said, you know, understanding that it is collaboration.
Yeah, I think the big thing, the biggest lesson that any comics creator especially should learn early on is, you know, every decision you make has ramifications down the line. Especially as an editor, you know, say you give your writer a deadline, but then the writer, you know, for whatever reason wants to extend it or misses that deadline or whatever. well, that just doesn't affect, you know, the writer. That affects then the penciler, which is then going to affect the inker, which is then going to affect the colorist, which is then going to affect, you know, like it, there are ramifications. It snowballs down the line. The later your writer is on the script, well, then maybe you're going to have to split pages with the penciler. And now that penciler has lost work, and that they're not going to be happy about that. Obviously, that's money that they're losing. But then they're also losing that autonomy of having that issue be an issue that they worked on. Now they're splitting that. And you know, if the inker gets delayed too, well, then now maybe you're going to have to split amongst colorists and, you know, every decision like that, like it ultimately is going to affect the quality of the overall project. And so it becomes a conversation that you have to have, you know, with yourself as an editor or as I like to say, team leader, what's worth it? You know, what is worth delaying the process in? Is this really worth it? How can we work around this? What can we do? You know, what hoops can I jump through in order to still keep the flow going and keep everyone happy on the project in order to make the best end product? You know, I was always the person that it's just like, I don't care if it means it's more work for me and I'm now working 14-hour, 16-hour days. I would rather take the brunt of the work than push that on my creators that I'm working with so they can focus more freely on, you know, doing the best creative project they can rather than worrying about other crap. But yeah, like I think that's an important thing, you know, for, you know, more inexperienced writers to understand that any decision that you make as a writer is ultimately going to affect everyone else you're working with. And so long as you're able to keep that consideration for other people and what other people are bringing to the table in mind, then I think you're going to have a better creative collaborative relationship with the people you're working with. And ultimately, you know, there's a reason why, you know, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo keep working together. There's a reason why, you know, certain colorists and certain artists are always working together. It's because creatively they found that collaboration that works with them and works well. So I think the sooner, you know, you can figure out the people that you work best with earlier on in your career, it's going to open up a lot of cool opportunities.
And it also, you know, the other end, when life happens, when there's somebody gets sick, some sort of life event, you know, it really, it sounds corny, but having worked in a creative environment with a bunch of people for a couple of years, you know, you really learn how to lean in and take on, pick up the slack when you need to in a way that, not to say that you're phoning it in other times, but it becomes a different, maybe emotional investment, you know, beyond the financial and creative, like, we're going to make a cool thing. But when you really start to have a partnership and get invested with people, it can change your perspective on how you work with them. And the example that you mentioned of the Snyder Capullo kind of, you know, they're jamming on Batman, is it's clear that they seem to like each other and like what they're doing. You know, not that you necessarily need to be best of friends and get matching tattoos to do a project together, but there is something to be said about even, you know, me learning to go into, hey, this is what I'm approaching you about. Is there anything you really want to draw? Is there anything you're really drawn to? And trying to think about that. And a lot of times that loosens up other stuff, you know, in your head as part of the process and go, oh, I should do that. That makes more sense story-wise. And if they want to draw it, great.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just for my own example, I recently got asked to participate in it hasn't fully been announced yet, so I don't want to reveal too much. But I got asked to adapt a writer's prose story into a comic. And so I approached, you know, I was like, oh, this is an artist I really want to work with. Like, what do you think? And they're like, cool. So I talked to this artist and I'm like, hey, this is a thing I've been asked to do. Read it. Let me know what you think. Is this something you would be interested in doing an adaptation of? And they're like, oh, yeah, this seems really cool. I'm like, cool. What do you want to draw out of it? Like what out of reading the story excites you the most that you want to draw, because then I'll focus on that when I'm doing my side of writing the adaptation. Because, you know, I always like to say it's really easy for a writer to just like write and then 100 people walk into the room. That's, you know, just a couple of keystrokes, but it's hard for an artist to then draw 100 people walking into a room unless maybe they really like doing that. And if you're an artist that really loves drawing crowds of people, hit me up. You'll get my Twitter information at the end of this. I have a comic for you. But again, like, you know, if especially for the newer comic writers that don't necessarily have the budget to shell out, you know, like big page rates for artists, like find out what the artists want to draw. An artist will be more willing to work with you if they get to draw something they want to draw.
Right.
Rather than, you know, something they don't like drawing, obviously.
And, you know, and maybe this speaks to how I tend to think about a lot of stuff too when it comes to the breaking in and not having a budget but trying to find a collaborator that you like what they're doing and make it work. It is a lot of times, any job to a point is you have to obviously pay attention to what's right in front of you, but you also have to think about what's going to happen a week, a month, you know, months mm-hmm. down the line, a year down the line. So if it's somebody that really wants to draw superhero comics and you have a cool 10-page superhero story you want them to draw, maybe that's part of their portfolio that they get to go, hey, I really want to try to work with the X-Men office, so it'd be great to have some superhero storytelling. I don't really have anything. I came from doing horror stuff or,
yeah,
you know, fan fiction or whatever. So there is some amount of, okay, well, if they're going to be doing their own thing, maybe, cool, I can pay them to do these pages of my cool superhero, and then they get to take that to the next portfolio review, wherever. There's some amount of trying to think ahead to, okay, well, how can, obviously it'd be great to have a relationship with an artist forever, and you're always going to have the same creative team, and in some cases, you know, if you're Jim Lee, you probably will have the same creative team with you, but most folks, you know, tend to seem to bounce around a bit, and it is always, you know, it's the big picture of how can I collaborate well now and get everybody else will continue to collaborate, and down the line I could be like, those are the people I worked with, and
yeah,
there, everybody wants to continue some amount of whatever your goals are, if it's to go in and write Star Wars, or if it's to do your cool creator-owned comic that you just do through Kickstarter or your webcomic or your whatever. It's different routes, but I think so many of the principles remain the same, especially around the collaboration. Was there a big takeaway for you, and maybe you haven't really had a chance to catch a breath or look back at your time at Marvel, as far as something that maybe stood out as you either learned or you felt like, oh, I really got to see this in action and really understand how it works as far as collaboration goes?
I think the big thing for me, my big takeaway was, you know, when it comes to collaboration, again, is like being able to forecast, being able to see, you know, so far down the line. It became one of, I think, my biggest skills would be, I would be in a meeting and in a room, and you know, the higher ups are talking about, hypothetically, in October, we want to launch X, Y, and Z. And so I'm sitting there doing the math in my head. I'm like, okay, so, because I've often found just human beings are like, if I can put it off to starting something later, I'm going to put it off and start something later. Let this be future Heather's problem, right? That's just how, that let future Heather hate past Heather. That's just how we work as people, right? We've all been there. I've been there. But in comics, you know, you never want to be on the last minute ever. So it became a thing of mine where if I ever heard any hypotheticals, I would always then do the math in my head. I'm like, okay, so if they want to launch, you know, in this month, this means we need to be able to solicit in this month. And if we're soliciting in this month, that means we need to have a cover and pitch approved by this time. And this would be our rough start dates. If we want to have a good artist, if we want to have an artist that, you know, is 3.5 pages a week versus rushing someone at 5 pages a week, this is when we need to start. You know, I'm starting to do the math and realizing, oh, those start dates are next week. Okay, then I go to my bosses and be like, okay, how serious are we about doing this thing? Because so many times I think things just, everyone has so many things on their plate, right? Like when I was at Marvel, I was putting to print, you know, 15 to 20 different issues a month. That's a lot.
Right.
And then you're constantly developing new projects. So the sooner, the farther ahead that you can get on anything, is a blessing. Because if you can get all the stones in motion rolling and then have a team that, you know, you can really trust to get the job done, then, you know, they'll run themselves. But if everything is so last minute, then it just becomes this giant disorganized mess that is stressful and everyone's crying and you're at the office until midnight trying to figure out where your pages went. So yeah, being able to forecast ahead of time, helps make the collaboration process easier. Because everyone is just in general less stressed.
That's a great way to put it to forecast. That huge business lesson for me in my career was starting to understand, oh, it's not like if we have to close down, we'll close down tomorrow. I'll know months in advance that we're going to be closing down. That's really weird. I remember so clearly when that happened that it was such a revelation of, oh, this is how this works. I need to think ahead in such a different way. And I love your big breakdown of how it all kind of came together as far as, hey, we would like to do this event 4 months
yeah.
from now. Oh, no, we have to do everything starting next week. It really, truly does develop into, well, if you're going to make any kind of impact, it's like the idea of, hey, let's put on a Comic-Con. I can't imagine how long you have to think about doing a Comic-Con. Any big collaboration, moving parts, I mean, especially in your case, working with licensors and different story groups. And,
yeah. That's what I was going to say. I was like, that became make or break for my job working on Star Wars because, you know, the process between making a Star Wars comic and a Marvel comic were two completely different things. You know, adding into the factor of Lucasfilm and the story group approvals, then it took twice as long to make any comic. So,
wow.
Again, if they're saying, you know, we want to launch this in October, then I'm just like, well, okay. That math is scary. You know, I there would be multiple times where I would have to walk into the room as, you know, as an assistant editor talking to VPs and just being like, yeah, that's not possible. This isn't going to happen. If you need it to happen, we'll do what we can. But I'm just telling you right now, like, the math does not work.
These are not the deadlines you're looking for.
Exactly. And so, yeah, like having that skill to be able to forecast is so, so beneficial because it makes everyone's lives not necessarily easy, but if you can forecast when a situation is going to be stressful, then at least you know ahead of time and can better plan and prepare for it.
That is a great way to put it and a great way to sum it up. Well, I will quickly say that Comics Palooza is coming up on May 25th. So if you're hearing this before that, you can find Andy Schmidt and Comics Experience at Comics Palooza. And over at comicsexperience.com, they've got a character design course coming up starting June 4th, as well as a Creating Great Characters class that's starting on June 6th. So you can go to Comics Experience for all that stuff. And if you'd like to hear Heather talk about something on the show, you can email info@comicsexperience.com and we will talk about it, as well as you can also tweet at comic, no S, experience. For anybody who's new, those are the best ways to get a hold of the folks over at Comics Experience. That'll get stuff in the hopper. And I know Heather will have a lot of different things that she can talk about given her current and past track record. So please take advantage of emailing us. Questions from listeners are always terrific. And Heather, if people want to find you, where should they find you?
Best place is Twitter. You can find me at Heather Antos. So just my name, HEATHERANTOS. Yeah, let's talk comics.
Excellent. Thanks again for making the time to do this. I know you have a lot going on.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for helping me procrastinate.
That's what we do most of the time, I feel like. Do not let your editor know that's what we're doing. All right, until next time, keep making the comics.